Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, around 120,000 people in Ireland hold firearm licences, and many of those owners have been calling for a more consistent approach in how those licences are issued. In particular, how Garda superintendents process applications for a gun licence and how equipment like thermal sights and sound moderators are classified. Well, our reporter Maura Fay has been looking into the issue, and Maura is here now. Hello, Maura.
Hi, Claire.
So you were at a thing called a Firearms Owners Forum in Mullingar last week. What was that all about?
So two forums were organised by the Firearms Service Delivery Unit, which is part of the Department of Justice, and they were held in Mullingar last Wednesday. These meetings were aimed at engaging directly with firearms owners and hearing firsthand about the challenges people face when it comes to licensing and equipment. People may not be familiar with the Firearms Service Delivery Unit, but it is responsible for things like the implementation of firearms legislation, registration of firearms dealers, and the import and export of firearms and ammunition. Just to give you an overview of gun ownership in Ireland, Claire, 120,000 people having gun licences in Ireland may sound like a lot, but Ireland has a very low gun ownership rate. The average gun ownership rate here is 7.2 guns per 100 people. In comparison, in America, there are around 120 guns per 100 people. And people may wonder, why would someone want a gun? Well, the biggest group of gun owners is actually farmers. Then it's people who are into hunting, game shooting, clay pigeon shooting and target practice.
Right, sporting guns, yes. Essentially, or for at least part of the reason. So what were the issues that people were raising at the forums, Maura?
So the Department of Justice said the forums were not open to the media, but I did speak to various people after the meeting to get a sense of what was being raised. One person I spoke to is Thomas O'Brien. He's the range operator at Harbour House Sports Club Shooting Range in Kildare. He gave me his reaction to what he heard at the meeting.
I thought it was very constructive. There are people who are trying to be proactive, who are trying to interact with the general target shooter or country pursuits individual, and they have, I believe, ambitions to move forward and possibly change it for the benefit of target shooters and country pursuits.
Are gun licensing laws as they stand currently causing a lot of issues from what you can see that's happening in your club?
It would seem that the issues that were being raised were issues in how it is being implemented by the Gardaí. Lack of consistency from one jurisdiction to another, different timings, different information required, as opposed to it being the same across the board and everyone having to perform to the same information and guidelines.
Do you think, though, that gun licensing should be strictly regulated?
I don't think any firearm holder would object to being regulated, and we embrace it. We're one of the most highly regulated countries in the world, particularly in Europe anyway, in relation to firearm holding. But consistency is what everyone is looking for. We're looking for, whether you're in Donegal or whether you're in Cork or Kildare, that the same applies to everybody, the same information required and the same conditions be imposed upon individuals.
So a lot of people at the meeting felt that the rules weren't being fairly implemented, and that's leading to some people being able to get their firearms license and some people not.
That's correct. I don't think that the forum that we were at today was able to address this type of thing, because they made us aware that they can't tell the Gardaí what to do. They can give guidelines but what the real issue is that they're not performing to what guidelines have been set out. And again, back to inconsistencies, one jurisdiction will give you something and impose certain conditions, and other jurisdiction there's no conditions or you can't get that particular firearm.
So just to be clear here, Maura, what is the Gardaí's role in the issuing of gun licences?
The process of getting a gun licence is actually relatively straightforward. You complete a 9-page application form which goes into your personal history, the reason you want a firearm. You have to demonstrate competence and training, also have two personal references and a GP reference. It then goes to the local Garda district where the applicant resides, and the authority to grant or refuse the licence is vested with the superintendent, and they have a lot of discretion in that regard. I also spoke to Dan Curley, who is the chairman of the National Association of Regional Game Councils, or the NARGC. That organisation members will be people who are into things like duck and pheasant shooting. He told me about the issues his members are facing.
There are many issues, yeah. That there's probably inconsistency is the biggest problem. There's roughly, I think, in or about 70 superintendents license most of the guns, or some chief superintendents license guns as well. But and there's consistency from area to area, and there seems to be no coordination of it, basically. We've been trying to have meetings with the commissioner to get a bit better coordination from, for instance, we're standing here in Mullingar at the minute. A few mile out the road, this could be one superintendent. A few mile out the road could be a different superintendent, and he might allow things that the superintendent here won't allow, you know, and them kind of things going on around the country. And then superintendents come up with stipulations that were never there before, and we don't believe they're backed by law, basically, that they shouldn't be doing that, you know, that they've gone, in effect, they've gone away from what's in the law and maybe gone a little bit too far with their interpretation of it. And I suppose what we're really looking for is that they'll talk to us, mm-hmm. you know, that there'll be proper consultation around all these things and a proper forum where all the, you know, there's about probably 8 or 10 key stakeholders involved in firearms, and they should be around the table, basically. That's what we're saying, with them on a regular basis, maybe once or twice a year. And any issue coming up, plus maybe move the thing on. We are in a bit of an archaic, like they have moved on passport licensing, driving licensing, but firearms licensing is the same as it was 50 years ago, and probably a bit worse than it was 50 years ago, if we're honest, you know. Yeah.
Do you accept, though, that the regulation around firearm licensing needs to be strict?
We have a very strict regime in Ireland. Like, you know, you'd hear commentators saying the American system or some other system. Irish firearms law is probably the toughest in the world. It's probably the most restrictive in the world. You know, besides, you know, Eastern European is probably a bit laxer. I'd say America is laxer, but our firearms license are pretty strict. You know, and you only get a gun if you have a good reason for having that gun. You know, you can't just get it because you like a gun as such, you know.
Right. In some cases, though, you do need permission from the Garda Commissioner for certain types of equipment, Maura.
Yes, for things like thermal imaging and sound moderators. It's something I spoke to Liam Nolan about. He's a representative of the Firearms Users Representative Group. He has a particular interest in deer stalking and has almost 60 years' experience in firearms usage. I asked him about the regulations surrounding those types of equipment, but first I started by putting it to him that, in fairness to the Gardaí, they need to be really strict about who can and who can't access a gun.
They can, and to a very large extent that they are, yes. It can happen occasionally that somebody slips through the net who really shouldn't have a firearm, but they are in the smallest possible minority, absolutely, you know.
Going forward, what do you want to see happen from this meeting onwards?
We'd like to see it, first of all, iron out some of the difficulties that we, as in the audience, identified for the Department of Justice, and they were multiple. There were 9, 10, 12 very important key areas, all to do with the licensing procedure, about the definition of firearms, about the definition, for example, of thermal imaging sites, which are technically, although they cannot fire a projectile, they are technically, under the law, they are firearms, which is nonsensical, you know. Sound moderators are treated as firearms. They're not firearms, but according to the legislation, they are. And these create difficulties for people who want to acquire them.
Can you just explain what those pieces of equipment do?
Thermal imagery is used by people who are shooting foxes or other vermin at night time, or perhaps they're shooting deer for deer control purposes, where deer are a problem, under what we call a Section 42 license issued by the Wildlife Service, and they allow the identification of both foxes and other animals, as well as deer at night time, by intensification of light. The sound moderator simply does that. They're commonly known as silencers, and of course they're not silencers. They don't silence the noise, they moderate the noise. So if you're doing vermin control or whatever it is in a vaguely built up area, you don't want to cause alarm, you want to moderate the noise. First of all, you don't want to disturb any farm animals that might be in the vicinity. You don't want to cause alarm for people that might hear the shooting, etc. So they're very, quite, never mind the question of protecting my hearing. There's no reason at all why they should be treated as firearms.
And as the law stands, they currently are.
Yes, there's a sort of an add-on to your ordinary firearm certificate. And strangely enough, we have two types of firearm here. We have no totally prohibited firearms in Ireland. We have unrestricted, and restricted. Now, unrestricted are in the case of all, most, if not all, shotguns, whether they be of clay pigeon shooting or game shooting, they are largely unrestricted firearms. All rifles up to a caliber of .308 are unrestricted. But strangely enough, a thermal imaging sight is not just defined as a firearm, it is actually defined as a restricted firearm. And the difference is the superintendent licenses the certificate for the unrestricted firearm, but a restricted firearm can only be licensed by the commissioner, who delegates that authority to chief superintendents. So you can see it's quite a complex situation.
It is, but we're getting a glimpse into a world that most of us are very unfamiliar with. What's the next step, Maura?
Well, the various representative groups have called last week's forums in Mullingar a constructive step. They're calling for the re-establishment of the Firearms Consultative Panel, which was set up in 2009, but hasn't met since 2018. They also want to meet directly with Gardaí to discuss the issues raised. The Department of Justice says they have no public comment to make about the issues raised at the Mullingar meetings, but in the Gardaí say in a statement, "In operating the licensing system, An Garda Síochána shall aim to provide a service that facilitates the efficient processing of all applications pertaining to firearm certificates, authorizations, etc., while at all times ensuring that the interest of public safety remains paramount."
Maura Fey, thank you very much. Still to come in the next hour of the programme, how is air travel being impacted by global conflict? The story behind the first woman in charge of MI6, and why is it that new appliances like fridges and washing machines just don't last as long as their older predecessors? Coming up next, though, when is a sausage not a sausage?
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.